Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
If you follow the Beacon Broadcast on a regular basis, you know that we are in 1 Peter chapter 5 and have been dealing with the subject of humility over the last several broadcasts. Now, it occurs to me that humility is not one of those subjects that people hear a lot about. I can only remember, and my memory may be faulty, but I can only remember hearing one sermon on the subject of humility in my entire lifetime, unless I count those that I myself have preached. But as far as hearing someone else preach on the subject of humility, I do remember one memorable sermon a number of years ago that I heard at a conference in California. But other than that, I don't recall ever hearing a sermon on humility or even a sermon in which humility was a major focus. But the Bible obviously puts a great deal of emphasis upon this attribute, telling us that it is a conspicuous attribute of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfect man as well as God, but in his perfect humanity, he possessed and manifested an incredible measure of humility. We would have to say a perfect measure of humility. And in Philippians chapter 2, he has set before us for our example. We are to develop the same kind of humility that Christ manifested. And so I don't apologize for lingering on this subject as we are looking at it in 1 Peter chapter 5. So, with those words of introduction, I welcome you to this Friday, July 11 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we are dependent upon your gifts to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Well, we're talking about developing humility, concentrating upon verses 6 and 7, but the reason why we must develop humility is given to us in verse 5, where Peter says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Now, any Christian who thinks through that statement will recognize immediately how important it is that we develop humility. If it is true, and of course it is, because the Bible says so, if it is true that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, then every child of God will say, "Help me to develop humility. I don't want God to be resisting me because of my pride, but I do want the grace of God that flows to those who are humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore," we read in verse 6, "humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Humble yourselves. We talked about that on the broadcast yesterday. It is an imperative. It may be a middle imperative, humble yourself. It may be a passive imperative, be humbled, that is, allow yourself to be humbled by God. But either way, we must recognize that humility comes in relationship to God. As we learn to relate ourselves properly to our Creator, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, recognizing who God is, recognizing His greatness, His majesty, His power, His wisdom. We see ourselves in comparison and can only be humbled by that comparison. In other words, people who are overly proud probably don't spend too much time thinking about God or their relationship to God. Even Christians, who evidence a great deal of pride, probably are not spending enough time thinking about who God is and comparing themselves to God, because that comparison will always make us humble. The Bible tells us that comparing ourselves to other people is not wise. But comparing ourselves to God is wise, because that comparison can only humble us. And so we recognize the mighty hand of God, and that promotes humility. But we need to understand that the development of humility is orchestrated by God Himself, and it is carried out under His mighty hand. And that's a way of telling us that our difficulties come ultimately from God. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. In other words, as trials and afflictions come into your life, recognize that they come from God. Now, it is true that there are secondary causes. Almost always, there are. In fact, I'm tempted to say always, but I haven't thought it through enough to figure out if there are any exceptions to that. But almost always, there are secondary causes. If I have a difficult marriage, for example, I recognize that there are human reasons for that. I hope I recognize correctly what the human reasons are. I have found as a pastor over the years that so many times when people have difficult marriages, they're convinced that the problem is almost entirely with their spouse. And in my evaluation, I almost always realize that a great deal of the problem is with the person who is certain that the problem is with his spouse. The old mote beam problem that we have so much of. But if you are in a difficult marriage, you need to realize that God has you there for a purpose. Yes, there are secondary causes, whatever it was. I mean, the possibilities are endless. You may say, I was deceived by this person before we married. I didn't realize who they were. They deceived me. That's the reason why I have a difficult marriage, because my wife or husband deceived me before marriage. That may very well be true. I'm not saying that that's not true. That very well may be true. Or you may go through who knows how many other issues. The reason I'm having difficulty with my marriage is because I had a bad childhood and I never learned how to be the proper mate that I ought to be because I didn't have the right examples from my parents. And so that's the reason why I'm having difficulty in my marriage. And on it goes. You can list all kinds of secondary causes, which may or may not be accurate, or may not have the proportion of the problem correctly assessed by you. In other words, you may be putting too much weight on your childhood upbringing when God says that may be true, but what's keeping you from changing? What's keeping you from developing? Just because you had a difficult childhood doesn't mean that you have to carry those characteristics that you wrongly learned in your childhood for the rest of your life. What do you think sanctification is all about? What do you think grace is all about? What do you think salvation is all about? But transformation. You can change, and if you don't change, if you keep blaming this on your past and refuse to recognize your wrongs, your responsibility to change, and your ability to change through the power of God, then you can't keep blaming your past, though the fact that you're doing so is part of your problem, but you can't rightfully keep blaming your past. At some point, you're going to have to say, the problem is that I have been stubborn. I have been unwilling to recognize the need for change and the power to change and to seek the changes that God is able to give me. I have been unwilling to do that. I have to take responsibility for these problems. I can't keep blaming my parents. And on and on it goes. These are secondary things. But beyond the secondary causes, you have to look to the ultimate cause. And I say it again, our difficulties come ultimately from God. And so, taking a bad marriage again as an illustration, and that's only one problem, but it's a pretty big one. It's a pretty serious one. When people have that problem, they have big problems for sure. But taking your difficult marriage as an illustration, don't you realize that God has brought you into that relationship in order to teach you, to sanctify you? It is precisely through trials that we grow in grace. And marriage is one of God's greatest tools of sanctification. I see it over and over and over again. And I see people who recognize that and respond to it and work on it. Work on me. I'm having difficulty in my marriage. I will ask God to work on my spouse. I can see things that are needed there. But I'm going to concentrate upon me. I'm going to focus upon the changes I need to make. I'm going to focus upon what God is trying to teach me. I'm going to focus upon what God is trying to do to get my attention in certain areas, and I'm going to address those needed changes, all the while trusting God to work the needed changes in my wife or husband. That's the way you need to look at it and recognize that you are in this difficult marriage because God has placed you there in order to further develop your sanctification. That doesn't mean that God is responsible for the poor choices you made. That doesn't mean that God is responsible for the sins that you have committed. But what it means is that God brought you into that relationship in order to teach you and grow you as a believer. I am, of course, talking to believers. What I've said applies to believers. It might not be the same if you're an unbeliever. In the case of an unbeliever, we could say that God has brought you into this difficult relationship to show you your need of Christ. To show you that you aren't sufficient to solving and conquering all the problems in your life. You need help. And why do you need help? Because you're a sinner in need of God's grace. You need Christ in your life. So God has gracious purposes for these things, and we're talking about developing humility. And the first step is to recognize that our difficulties come ultimately from God, and we need, therefore, to learn to submit to God's sovereign purposes in our lives. We're talking about developing humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Is your livelihood threatened? Recognize that the ultimate source is God. Go to Him for help. Ask Him what He wants you to learn and to change. Are your dreams and goals and aspirations crumbling into dust? They just aren't working out the way you had planned? Well, recognize that God is the one who is frustrating your ambitions because He has something important to teach you. Go to Him. Ask Him why this goal, this dream, this aspiration is not working out. What is He trying to show you? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. We're talking about developing humility, and this is the way that it will be done. Well, we'll take it up again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.